So the New Testament reading from John can be found on page 1049. John chapter 1, beginning at verse 1 and reading to verse 18. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gave light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, nor a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known."
Well, we're gathered here today for a celebration, a birthday celebration in many ways. But there's a question that some people would ask, and I think it's a fair question to ask. Is it right to be having a celebration in the circumstances that we're in right now? Australia is facing really quite difficult situation at the moment, isn't it? We're in a crippling drought. We've just had the driest November on record ever. Normally droughts affect mostly people in rural areas, but this one has started to impact life even here in the suburbs with the way we use water. And the drought has, of course, led to a catastrophic bushfire season. So far this summer, over 3 million hectares of bushland have been burned. 700 homes have been destroyed, and at least 9 people have been killed. And a state of emergency is currently in effect throughout New South Wales. In circumstances like this, is it right for us to gather in church for a celebration? Should we instead be getting out there and doing something useful, making sandwiches for firefighters or something? I think it's a fair question to ask. And here's my answer. I want to say it is right to be celebrating if the thing you're celebrating is the solution to the problems you face. It is right to be celebrating in difficult circumstances if the thing you're celebrating is the solution to the problems you face. And today, as we have a look at the opening of John's Gospel, I want us to see how Jesus is that ultimate solution. Jesus is the one who can give us ultimate hope and security, whatever circumstances we're in. Now, there's lots of wonderful details in that passage. We're not going to try and deal with them all today. But the thread I want to draw out today is this. When Jesus was born, the true light entered a dark world to bring new life. The true light entered a dark world to bring new life. And we're going to have a quick look at those three things: true light, dark world, new life. And the kids who've been doing some colouring are going to help illustrate this for us. We're going to start with the true light. Any kids here got the picture of the light bulb? If it's coloured in or not coloured in, that's okay. You want to bring that up for us? This is our first topic, the true light. We can even glue that on so it'll be nice and visible and stick that on there. Another light bulb coming. Great work. Thanks, guys. As we saw earlier, John is different to the other gospel writers. He doesn't start at the beginning of Jesus' teaching career like Mark does. He doesn't start in the year that Jesus was born like Matthew and Luke do. No, he goes way, way further back than that. John opens his document with the words, "In the beginning." Those are famous words. It's like a writer today beginning a book with the words, "Once a jolly swagman," or "It is a truth universally acknowledged." John's readers who knew the Old Testament would immediately recognize these words, "in the beginning," as the opening words of the whole Bible, where the book of Genesis says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." How did God create the heavens and the earth? Well, the Old Testament readers knew that God used his word. He spoke, "Let there be light, let there be sky, let there be fish," and so on and so on. Our Old Testament reading from Psalm 33 today said the same thing. "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth. He spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm." So, John says, "In the beginning was the Word," and that's fairly uncontroversial so far. But then he continues, "The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning." And as John goes on, you realize that when he's talking about the Word, he's saying that before the creation of the world, there was this other person with God the Father, equal to God the Father, co-eternal with God the Father. Verse 4, John says, "In him was life, and that life was the light of all people." Verse 9, he says, "The true light that gives light to every person was coming into the world." Now, the other Gospels also show that Jesus' birth wasn't just business as usual. They show it from the human perspective, with Mary being confused and Joseph being shocked at this news that Mary is pregnant while still being a virgin. This is not just a normal cycle where one generation of humanity gives birth to the next generation and so on and so on. This is something quite different and new. This is the eternal Word of God becoming flesh. This is the true light that gives life to all people coming into the created world. The carol we're going to sing at the end of our service this morning captures it beautifully when it describes Jesus as true God of true God, light of light eternal, Word of the Father now in flesh appearing. The one who came into the world is the true light, the light who gave life in the beginning. But he comes to a world which is disconnected from light and life. He comes to a dark world. Who's got a picture of a globe that they've coloured in? Picture of the world. Can you bring it up for us? All right, stick that on there for me. A few others coming. Nice. So you can fit them on. You can pop yours over here. Very nice. Thank you. You can see that there wasn't much space to colour in on that one, was there? There's a lot of black on that image. Verse 10 of our passage says, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. In Luke's gospel, Luke tells us about this heavy-handed decree from the Roman Emperor Augustus, which meant that Mary and Joseph were away from home when Jesus was born. They had to travel from their hometown Nazareth to Joseph's ancestral village of Bethlehem. And while they were there, their new baby arrived. Can you imagine being away on holiday or on a work trip and you give birth to a new baby? There were people everywhere because of the census. The normal facilities weren't available. And so this baby that suddenly arrived had to sleep in a feeding trough for animals. If anyone had recognized who this truly was, he would have been housed in a palace. But instead, he was given a manger for his bed. Matthew, in his gospel, tells us that when King Herod, the Jewish puppet king, heard this rumor that a new king had been born in his kingdom, he sent soldiers to try and have the kid assassinated. And Jesus' family had to flee to Egypt as refugees until the danger subsided. Jesus came to his own people, but his own people did not receive him. And after Jesus grew up, in the end, it was the Roman and the Jewish powers combined that put him to death, even though he committed no crime. When the true light comes into a dark world, you see just how dark that world is. You and I might find ourselves assuming sometimes that this world is basically okay. We might think that any problems we face, they'll get solved over time. Progress with a capital P will go on and on. That's the great belief of the modern era. But the Bible's diagnosis is that our world is a dark place. It's a place that's disconnected from the source of light and life. That's why it's a world that contains death. And a world that contains family breakdowns. A world that contains loneliness. That's why it's a world of raging bushfires and crippling droughts. It's a hostile world. It's the kind of world that if its creator were to enter in, it would ignore him. It would reject him. And it would kill him. The true light enters into a dark world, a world that will reject him. But this is not a surprise to God. There's a plan, there's a purpose. John tells us that purpose, that the true light entered the dark world to bring new life. Who's got a picture of a baby they've been working on? Can you bring that up for us? Can you stick that up there for us? Very nice. Thanks, guys. Now, we've got here some lovely pictures of newborn babies. You might think that this is a picture of baby Jesus, because it is Christmas Day, after all. But that's not what these pictures mean. Look at all those extra newborn babies coming. Bonus babies. Nice work. Thanks, guys. You might think it's a picture of baby Jesus, but that's not what these pictures mean. These are pictures of us, if we trust Jesus. Verse 12 in our passage says, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. To everyone who will recognize him, who will trust him, Jesus gives new life, new birth, a whole new start, a whole new relationship with God, with sins forgiven, a whole new identity that isn't stuck in the darkness of this present world. This is what Jesus later calls being born again or born from above. Jesus offers you new life, eternal life, resurrection life in a transformed world. And Jesus demonstrates what he's talking about when he rises from the dead, when he defeats the darkness of this world and launches a whole new creation. Later in the New Testament, in 1 Peter, it says, "Praise be to the God of our Father and God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." As our next Christmas carol is going to put it, Jesus was born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Because Jesus was born, you and I can be born again. As C.S. Lewis puts it, and you'll have to excuse the gender-specific language here, C.S. Lewis says, "The Son of God became a man to enable men to become sons of God." The Son of God became a man to enable men to become sons of God. And of course, this is true for women and boys and girls too. This is the new life that's on offer because the true light entered into our dark world. Christmas is all about light in darkness. It's about hope in despair. It's about life, true life, in a world that's overwhelmed by death. And that's why it's right for us to celebrate, even if we face the most dire of circumstances. It's right for us to celebrate the arrival of the true light, to celebrate the new life that he offers to everyone who believes in his name. Amen.